Hello and welcome back to the conversation. My name is Pastor Ben Kratz, and I am one of the pastoral advisors for the Wells Women's Ministry Committee. Here with me again are
Don Schultz,
Naomi Schmidt,
and Christy Meyer.
Christy, as the kind of project manager for this whole shoot and match, could you give us a quick reminder of where we've been and how this week's devotions fit into that bigger picture?
So we started back in perfection in the Garden of Eden. We looked at fall into sin. We looked at the fact that we all have equal status before God. We looked at our role of helper, and we looked at how that role of helper especially played out with Eve fulfilling the not goodness that Adam had by himself. This week, we are looking at spiritual gifts, and in particular, once again, how our unique callings call together in relationships in the church between men and women and working together for the body of Christ.
I liked how you put it in the email too, just talking about a partnership. You talked about a partnership that you experienced at church and getting to see all the different gifts that God gave to the body of Christ and seeing men and women come together and use their gifts in service to each other and to the church and to the Lord. And certainly those gifts aren't just to be used in the church, but also things that we obviously use at home and just in the world in general. What encouragements would you give someone trying to figure out how their spiritual gifts play out in their home situation?
The encouragement I would give someone as they were trying to figure out their spiritual gifts and what that looks like in the home is, first of all, to remember that this side of heaven, nothing is going to be perfect. And it's going to only be messy when you take two sinful human beings and put them in the same household outside of God's word, and having the continual growing in the word together, as the devotion said, prayerfully considering how that works out in the home is very important. A couple of things come to mind. Just remembering that the gifts that God has given are God-given abilities that he gives to each one of us to build up his kingdom and what that looks like in the home, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit, which are those characteristics that come from being in the word and the Holy Spirit working through us. So getting to know and understand yourself and what the abilities God has given you to bring to your marriage is so important to bring to the home in general as a parent or in your relationship in the home. And I think also that helps you know how you can be a blessing. It helps you understand how you can contribute and partner in the home in whatever the situation is. And that doesn't mean that understanding that makes difficult situations easier. It doesn't make having to work through some hard things or navigating difficult situations any better, but it does help you understand and see better God's design when you know how he gifted you. I think that's also important when you look at your spouse in the home to understand the gifts that God has given them and what they are bringing. I think it's so easy to focus on the negative, and we're going to talk about that later, you know, what you can't do. But I think when you see what God has given and you start there, that's how those spiritual gifts start to become more naturally played out in the home.
I think those are great points, Don. I think too, it ties in with what we talked about last time with that common goal and the common source, common value kind of thing. I think, you know, when you're building a household, I feel like sometimes the people would think if we believe in head and helper, then the question that every marriage would start with is, you know, how is he going to be the head and how am I going to be the helper? And I think I would go all the way back to the beginning of our devotions where we saw that common image of God. And I said, and I guess I would say that the conversation needs to be, what do we want our home to be as believers? And how do we want our home to honor Christ? And what would that look like? And how would we play that out? And what will we do? And I think that in a very natural way, there are many times then that there will be positions where somebody is a helper and someone is leading and someone is doing something different. But you don't start with, how is the husband going to be the head? You start with, how is the home going to glorify God? And how are we going to honor God in our relationship? And that might look like it's a priority to be evangelical and have people for dinner. And we want this and that. And then it's a joint decision. And then head and helper will come out of that, but you don't start there.
And I think going back to looking at that image of God and recognizing that your spouse, your partner in the home does also bear the image of God, and looking for how that, mm-hmm. that comes out, and how can you help bring that out to even better glorify God? And also to not be disappointed when it's not there. The home, like I said, it's a messy situation when you take two sinful human beings and put them in the same confines and expect anything less than messy. But focusing on how I can glorify God and not expecting somebody else to bear that image or to glorify God in the way that I think that they should also helps that home situation.
So we see that partnership, not only home, but I would guess in every aspect of our life. And one of those aspects that the email touches on is just how those partnerships tend to play out in the congregations we are part of. The email, in talking about that partnership, then also touched on just leadership and authority. I guess, how do you see authority and leadership playing itself out in your congregation?
I see it very similar to the home. And again, how important it is for us to talk about this and see all of this in light of all of the conversations we've already had, so that the congregation, like the family, like the person, are all focused on this idea of following the Lord and reflecting his image and sharing the gospel. And we have that common goal. And so then as a congregation, we come together and say, how can we engage the gifts of people and help them serve and minister for the glory of God? And yet there still has to be some order. You can't have everybody just willy-nilly doing their own thing. And so you begin to organize and you begin to build some structure. And then with that structure, there are people that will have that natural characteristic of leadership or organization, and that will be something that really helps. But then ultimately there'll be a framework where leaders are set in place and said, and given authority to say, okay, this is how we're going to carry out the ministry. But everybody's got the same goal and the same desire.
I would agree. And I think as we've been talking about too, as far as contributing spiritual gifts, recognizing that God has given them for a purpose means that quality of leadership that I know God has given me, if I decide to withhold that for whatever reason, I'm not contributing to the body of Christ in the way that he intends that to be done. If I see my leadership as recognizing the potential in somebody and pouring into that and helping them, use their gifts to the best possible. If I say, well, I haven't been given the authority to do that and withhold that, I'm robbing the body of Christ from what God has intended it to be used for.
This is also a place where I am blessed to be in a situation where I don't necessarily have to struggle with this, but I know that there are some who are in situations where they feel like they're not being able to use their gift of leadership. And I'm going to ask Ben to swing back around to that in just a minute. But for right now, it's important to remember also that we are imperfect, but we are also working in a sin-filled world where not everything works as it's supposed to, and not everything in a congregation works always as it's supposed to. Sometimes there are unnecessary restrictions put in place that are super hard to navigate. It's difficult when you feel like you have gifts of leadership that you're not able to use. I guess my encouragement would be, as hard as it is, first of all, try not to focus on the negatives, try to focus on the positives, and look for alternative ways to use those gifts of leadership that you might have. Not as Naomi said, there's order that exists in congregations and it needs to exist for a variety of reasons. Otherwise, like she said, everything would be willy-nilly, but not always getting hung up on, I can't do this. What else can I do? What else? And this is getting into part of the other emphasis of the devotion as well. What else can I do? How else can I lead? Where are ways that I can serve and use my gifts of leadership? And that is something that has taken me a very long time to get to. And I'm sure that I'm still not fully there. It's super easy to see, well, this is something I'm good at and I would like to be able to do it. Maybe that's not the most beneficial for the body of Christ, but that isn't to say that there aren't other places where I can use my gifts of leadership as well. That said, and here's where I'm going to ask Ben to weigh in, there are also times where there truly are unnecessary restrictions, and those are really hard to navigate also. So I'm going to take the role of host for just a second, play a question back to Ben, how we can deal with those in our congregations also. Thoughts on that?
I think I would probably first start just by encouraging people to take even their pastor's words and actions in the kindest possible way, and to perhaps trust that the pastor may know some things going on just in the ministry of the congregation that he might not be able to share, but knows, hey, these things are going on and this might not be the best time to do that or to have this go on. And at the same time, balance that with the understanding that pastors are still people and sinful human beings. And so pastors aren't perfect. Mistakes are going to be made. They can and do sin against members and make mistakes in how they lead in a congregation. And so to not only be patient and forgiving with them, the encouragement might be just if you have questions about those things, just, well, like you've done, Christy, with your pastors and that you mentioned in the email, go and talk to them about it. Ask for, if possible, if you can give more clarification on it. And, you know, to use the pastor that you have as that person that God has given to you as a spiritual shepherd, and to take advantage of that.
Two things actually that you mentioned that I want to play off of. The first one is taking everyone's words and actions in the kindest possible way. I don't do this as well as I should. I suspect many of us sinfully don't do this as well as we should. That is a huge game changer for me when I remember to do that, when I quell my initial, I can't believe you said that, or I can't believe you're telling me that. No, you probably have good intentions, and it helps me so very much to remember that we're coming at it from the same common goal of trying to build up the body of Christ. And then secondly, having a conversation. This is how I tend to have a conversation. It works differently for everybody, but asking the questions instead of coming in with judgmental. If you ask, can you tell me what's going on? What's the reason? Instead of initially leading off with, I can't believe this is happening and I can't believe you're not letting me do this. Questions tend to fuel a conversation much more than immediate bristling. And so that has also helped me.
I think even following up with that, Christy, sometimes even recognizing that your pastor as a male sometimes even hears questions as challenging instead of inquisitive. You know, I think that in general is sometimes a difference between men and women. You know, the encouragement not only to have the conversation played out in your head, like you said, written down, or write down your thoughts so you can come in and have a conversation instead of like, why is this like this? I'm backing up what you're saying and even taking it one step farther.
No, I appreciate that. I am also one to know that my questions can sometimes come off as accusatory rather than inquisitive. So thinking about how they're being framed as well. Absolutely.
Well, and I think as far as using, you know, your gifts, we've talked about leadership, but there are other gifts out there that women have that can be used in the church and should be used in the church. And, you know, if I had any encouragement to give, a woman desires to be pursued. She wants to be asked. She wants to be invited to the party, you know, asked a hand in marriage, all of those kind of things. And so I think for a woman, sometimes it plays out in that they want to be asked to be served. They want this perfect position that, you know, magically somebody knows all of their gifts and talents and sees them from afar and invites them to serve in this way. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen like that. And so I think, again, assessing and knowing yourself, knowing your spiritual gifts and understanding them, and then taking an overview with your pastor and saying, okay, this is what I know God has blessed me, or how do you see God has gifted me, or, but looking and together finding where in the congregation, where in my home life can I serve as a blessing in the way that God intended it to be. It just having a plan instead of waiting to be asked or invited is good too.
That's so true. And I think as I was hearing you guys talk, I couldn't help but think about the importance then of building that pastor-member relationship. that, you know, as you have a pastor, that you're getting to know him, that you're building that relationship with him so that when you have those conversations, there's some good understanding and he understands where you're coming from. He knows you a little bit better. And you understand him and what his priorities are in ministry and how he does things. And, you know, God has given him certain gifts and abilities, and we want to support that as well. And so, again, all of that is really framed in that healthy, loving relationship. And like you said, Christy, it's just not always that easy. I mean, I think we have to admit that there's some rough spots, but again, being able to see how we are meant to work together and showing that respect and desire of that, again, common goal, common value, and yet seeing that there's a structure in place and this will benefit the body.
I know for me too, there have been times where I've had big ideas of something that really, really, really should happen. And it ended up happening 4 or 5 years later, but that was a much better time for it to happen than when I initially wanted it to. And, you know, I think about what God works in me, or the patience God works in me, or even that maybe my initial request or idea of bringing up something that just planted a seed of, oh, well, maybe we can do it. And it took 3, 4, 5 years for it to grow into an actual idea that was fruitful and a blessing for the congregation. I had to be patient and let God work through that in the way that God was going to do it, instead of the way that I wanted, you know, my plan and my idea.
John, I am completely in the same boat as you in terms of there's something that I wanted to do and it eventually ended up happening, but it took a while and there was quite a lot of frustration in the meantime. It was something that I thought was good and beneficial and I couldn't understand why it was taking so long or why there wasn't priority that everybody else thought I did. And what really helped me in that situation was focusing on, okay, right now, this is something that I can't do right now, but there are so many other things in the church that I can do. And I have many other places to use my spiritual gifts. Again, in my situation, it did end up happening. It took a long time to get there. But what really helped me to ease the frustration was focusing on the can rather than the can't. And that's something that I referenced in this week's written devotion as well.
You know, Don, can I go back to your dance picture? Because I read something recently, and I apologize, I can't quote the author, but someone wrote about there's a difference between being asked to come to the dance and being asked to dance. And that was so helpful for me, because I feel like sometimes as a woman, we're at the dance. God's invited us to the dance. And so we are there. And so you're there at the dance and other people are dancing and no one's asking you to dance. And all you can, like Christy's saying, all you can think about is you want to dance. So I think that picture was very helpful for me. I have also learned that when I'm at the dance and I haven't been asked yet to dance, that I can go find other people who aren't dancing and engage with them and have conversations with them instead of putting my toes on the dance floor and saying, I'd like to dance. It was a helpful picture for me. I don't know if that helps anybody else, but I enjoyed it, that it brought the emotions that I feel, said them very clearly.
It does help. It brings out the balance between where can I serve and where do I need to ask to be served and try or ask to serve, and how does that come together? And in the meantime, what can I do in the meantime?
I have also found too, when I have assessed what are my spiritual gifts, I know that they can be used to benefit the kingdom. I always have to have a pause and go back to the word and go back to God in prayer and really ask him, okay, you're the giver of this gift. How do you see this working out? How do you see this playing out? And pray that he makes clear what that is, because I have a tendency to just rush right in with my idea, like I said, and my idea might come to fruition later on. But it's when I go back to God in prayer, recognizing that he has a plan and he will carry it out and it will be to his glory. And I get to be a part of it. It's just waiting to see how he wants that gift to be used.
That is so hugely important, Dawn, because I think so often we see, okay, I've got this gift. Here's the path that I see to be able to use it. And like we talked about earlier this week, that's not what we're called to do. We are called to use our gifts faithfully in the position that God has placed us in. And that is where it ends. And sometimes we really do have to trust that the position God has placed us in is the position that he wants us in, because that's not the position that we want to be in at this point in time. But if we use our gifts faithfully, and like you said, if we go back to God in prayer, that is what we're called to do.
There may be some who don't have those roles in the church and are thinking, I am not contributing my spiritual gifts, but God gives those gifts that his kingdom is built up. And I know for me, I feel like that gift of evangelism, I just don't have. I don't have the walking up to someone and sharing my faith. And, you know, I've known you for a long time. We have a relationship. We're going to deep dive for 3 hours and we're going to get into God's word, but the initial conversation, but God has gifted his kingdom with people who have that gift. And so maybe those aren't the ones who are, you know, having all the time in the church, but their work has so encapsulated them, or their responsibilities outside. Oh my goodness, please don't hear or see that there is no part or no place. God's kingdom is so much larger than just within the church. And I know that this probably stepping a little bit away from this conversation as far as today's email conversation, but that can't not be said. God's kingdom is so much bigger and broader than the parameters we sometimes speak of it in.
Well, before Dawn gets too far away from this week's email conversation, then, but looking at both of the emails this week and maybe just thinking back over both of the discussions we've had this week, what would you say is one takeaway for the readers this week, one thing you want them to remember from this week's devotion and discussions?
I want people to remember that you have a sphere of influence, whether or not you see it. And you are called to live faithfully within your sphere of influence as best as you possibly can. Don't take that for granted. It's really important. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but it is. And that's not something to take for granted.
For me, I think it's just understanding that, and Dawn, this is something that you had said, that leading is both a verb and a noun, in the sense that you may have the characteristics of leadership and you may be an influential person, and that you can still use that gift even if you are not in a position of leadership. That oftentimes that character that we have either build another leader or just provide leadership behind the scenes and support and direction, but always in support of the person who's in authority, but that those can be two different ways we can understand leadership.
I would say my takeaway is that God has given these gifts and they are from the common source. They all have value and a common goal. And so the gifts that God has given you to bless his kingdom with, don't shy away from them. Don't let them be buried under a mattress or hidden. They are there for a reason. God's given them to you for his good.
Christy, can you give us a quick preview of where we are going with next week's devotions and discussions?
We touched on it just a little bit this week as to how these spiritual gifts and our unique callings play out in the home. Next week, we are going to take a much deeper dive into that. So what does this look like as we look at partnerships in the home?
All right. So thanks for joining us for today's discussion, and certainly invite you to come back and join us next week as we continue the conversation around the callings God has given to us as men and women.